So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Thanks, Nick. So I'm going to invite Matt forward. And I thought I'd just ask Matt a couple of questions so that you can get to know him a little bit. You may recognise Matt because he has been here a couple of times before, haven't you? In fact, do you want to say what you were doing at that point and then maybe what you're doing now in
life?
Yeah,
of course, yeah. So I've been here a couple of times, and that was when I used to work at BISC. So I worked with international students, came along here to just share the work of what BISC were up to. And it was a delight to be here. And it's a delight again to be here in a different capacity. And that's here to speak to you guys. At the moment, what I'm up to, I've got two jobs, which makes for a busy life. The first job is I work over at Woodlands Church and leading something called WTC, which is a theology course, a group of theology courses that are looking to equip people here in Bristol and the wider area in going deeper into the Bible, because we believe as you go deeper in the Bible, you encounter God. As you encounter God, you're transformed by His Spirit, and as we're transformed, we're empowered to go out and transform situations around us, people around us, and our community. Second job is I work for the food bank in North Bristol. So I manage food banks over in Southmead, Filton, Hawfield, Lockleys, Patchway, and that sort of area, supporting people in crisis.
Fantastic. Well, it's brilliant to have Matt with us and to share. So let's just pray for Matt. Lord God, thank you so much for family, for church family, that it stretches beyond these four walls. And we thank you for Matt and his willingness to come and share with us today. Thank you for the time he's put in to preparing him. Would you give us open hearts and minds to hear what he has to say and bless him as he shares. Amen.
Yeah, okay, good. That excited me. I've never been in this. My hands raised. I feel kind of like an American preacher, you know, as I'm going to reach forward. I'm not going to do that, don't worry. I'm very British. So yeah, it is a real joy actually to come along here and speak to you guys. And one thing I always noticed when I was working at BISC, coming along here, is that it's two things actually. The first is how generous you guys are, and that's generous financially, but also with your time. You're real servant-hearted people, and it actually inspired me when I was working at BISC to go for more, because I always saw you guys as people that went for more and more generosity, more giving, more. Yeah, it was just an inspiring thing. But the second thing is I feel a real sense of family here as well, and how everyone is part of a wider family. And I felt a bit of that when I walked in just now. And people actually came up and spoke to me. That's surprisingly rare in a church. I've been to a few where I've turned up and I've turned up to speak and I've just sat down. And I was welcomed up, I spoke, and then sat down again. And that was it. So it's actually really nice to get a welcome. On top of that, the scones I had that Pearl made were incredible. I actually missed breakfast. So to have a scone and the balanced diet of oranges as well was just a real delight. So I'm not going to get scurvy. All right, so a little bit about me and why this topic of living in the Spirit that we're going to be looking at this morning is a real passion of mine and why it's something that does actually really excite me. And one thing for me, when I came out of university, so I studied down in Plymouth, and I studied international development. And when I came out of university, I spent a time thinking, what do I want to do with my life? You know, what do I want? God, what does God want me to do with my life? What is it that is going to kind of spur me on? What's my why for living here? And after a long time of praying and thinking and just trying to work out what I can do, I came up with this idea that I want to see transformation in our city. And I want to see transformation in my life, in my family's life, in people around me's life, in our community's life, in people who are in need in their lives. I want to see situations change. And actually what I've grown to learn is that when we see the fullest change and the fullest transformation is actually when we live our lives in the Spirit and when we live our lives in God's way and living our lives for God's kingdom. And that's what we're looking at today. So this is like a passion for me. So I feel like, I don't know if you've ever seen TED Talks, when you see people that are just so passionate about their topic. This is kind of like my topic. So I'm excited. So hopefully, you guys will get something out of it. I'll get something out of it. And we'll just feel like we leave here knowing that we can make a difference, that when we walk in step with the Spirit, things change, things transform, and we have a really important part to play in that. Was it Nick? Thanks for reading that. You have a beautiful voice. It was really nice listening to you. So I wish that I could just get you to read my notes, because your voice is so much nicer than mine. But the verse that we're looking at today is Galatians 5, 16 to 26, as Nick read. And I just want to draw a few things out from this passage that I think it's saying to us, that have been helpful for me and that I feel like God is saying to us as well as a group. I don't know what your different situations are like, whether you think you're on track and you're walking in the Spirit like every day and you're like constantly seeing things happen, you're constantly seeing the fruits of the Spirit, like Simon was saying earlier. But my guess is, and actually I was proven right by the fact that no one put their hands up, is that actually we don't always walk in the Spirit. We don't always see these fruits come out. And so I sort of wrestle with that a bit, is why don't we see those? And that's what when I'm approaching this passage, is what's going on and why is it not happening in my life? And what can I do about that? So hopefully it'll be helpful. So the first thing that I wanted to say is that actually if we want to see situations change, when we look at the news and we see just crazy things happening, and it seems like every time you turn on the news, there's something new that's horrible going on. And you feel, I feel kind of helpless. I think, what can little old me do in this situation? But similarly, in my family, with my friends, I see things going on in people's lives that I think, this just isn't right. When I see some of my friends who are struggling with depression, anxiety, I think this can't be it. You know, this isn't right. When I work over at the food bank and I see people turn up that have no money, no support, no hope, are stressed out of their mind, have families to support, they can't afford to put food on the plates for their kids. I think this isn't right. And I don't know if you have similar situations as well, when you think about your life, the people around you, the people you meet, whether it's in your family, in your work, whether it's in Bristol as a city, whether it's in the UK, whether it's in the world, that you think, this just isn't right. And I don't know about you, but I feel this pull to, I want to do something about that. I want to be someone who brings change and brings transformation. And like I said before, I think that the way we do that is by walking in step with the Spirit. But the first thing that I want to say is that actually if we want to live by the Spirit, then we've got to receive the Spirit. And it's quite a simple thing, isn't it? You think, well, if I want to walk in it, I've got to have it first. But I wonder, do we all wake up every day and say, God, I want your Spirit to be in me? God, I want to receive your Holy Spirit and a Spirit that produces those fruits, that produce love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do we actively do that every day? Because I don't. But that's the stuff that I want to see. That's the change that I want to see in my situations. I want to see that stuff happen. And whenever we read through the Bible, and there's a number of passages about receiving the Spirit. So in Ephesians 5, it mentions that we have to receive the Spirit, and we have to be filled with the Spirit. And there's just a number of passages that are about being filled with the Spirit. And for any kind of grammar nerds out there, the be in the be filled is a present participle. And what that means is it's a constant. It's a constantly being filled. So it's every day we have to be filled. You're not just filled up once and then you're all right and you're sorted out. You can keep on doing your life and then you're living in the Spirit. It's a constant being filled. So whether you have said, God, I want to receive your Spirit, whether you said it once or whether you said it multiple times, we've got to be constantly looking for that, constantly asking for that, constantly receiving that. So that's my first question, is have you asked God's Spirit to be in you? Have you asked to receive the Spirit? And perhaps if you haven't, perhaps now's the time. Because I can probably guess that we all want to see hope and peace and transformation and change and love and people's lives changed. We all want to see that stuff. And I believe when we see that stuff in its fullest is when we receive the Holy Spirit. And we live that out. So it might be today that I don't know what happens next in the service, but whether you just tap someone here who's your friend and just say, I want to receive the Spirit. I want to receive that power that we know brings change, brings transformation. Maybe you'll do that. I think I'm probably going to do it. I'm going to make a new friend. I'm going to tap them. I'm going to ask them to pray for me so I can receive the Holy Spirit again, because the reality is, me as a person, I'm quite leaky. I leak the Holy Spirit out a lot, so I constantly need topping up. And that's what it means by be filled with the Spirit, constantly being filled with the Spirit. But once we're filled up with the Spirit, what does it look like to live by the Spirit? I think the reality is, as this verse that Nick read spoke about, that actually our bodies are in this kind of turmoil and this tug between our flesh, as sometimes the Bible calls, or our nature to kind of want to do things that are bad. And I'm not saying that that means that we're horrible people. I'm saying that naturally when I look at my life, I see that I want to do stuff that's not right. I want to look for things that bring me instant satisfaction. I want to I sometimes use my friendships and like manipulate people to do things that I want. I can be really jealous and envious of other people when I see people succeeding, doing the things that I want to do. There's something in me that's like, I want that, why don't I have that? And there's a jealousy and an envy in me. And I wonder if you feel that same thing, where you see stuff in your life that you think, there's something about me that's pulling me in this other direction. Because that's what this verse is talking about when it went through that whole list of stuff. And my guess is that when Nick read out that list of things, there's probably one or two that jumped out and you thought,
God, I do that. There's about 12 of those that I thought I'd do. But the other tug that's on our life is the tug of the Spirit. And it's pulling us in the other direction, which is leading us in kind of ripeness, in purity, in goodness, and ultimately leading us towards God's kingdom. And so in us we have this pull where we know what's right. We know it's the life that Jesus kind of spells out, and it's those right things. We know they're right, but there's this other tug that's pulling us in the other direction. And we're living in this pull. And it's difficult, isn't it? So how do we deal with this tussle? How do we overcome this tussle? And how do we do what the Spirit desires us to do rather than what our bodies and our flesh want us to do? And I think one thing that's been really helpful for me is what Paul says when he talks about running the race, running a good race. And I love that analogy. I'm a terrible runner, but I kind of get the point of it. I get that you're going for that target, for that goal, and you do whatever you can. I love watching the marathon, the London Marathon, and seeing people that are, in my mind, insane. And probably clinically, going for this huge run, and running, is it like 22 miles or something like that? Is it? That's a lot. That's a lot of miles. I can barely run 3. But I see these people, they've got this target in mind, this goal in mind, they're going for it. Whatever they can, they're putting in to go for this target. And that's the analogy that Paul uses when he says he's running the race, is he's got this target in mind, this end sight in mind, which is God's kingdom, which is a kingdom where there's hope, there's peace, there's healing, there's restoration, there's transformation. He's going for that with all he can, putting everything in it, running at this race. And that's how I see this tussle, is that I want to see it as a race. And this is how I overcome, or tried to overcome, the pull of my natural kind of desires, is that I run constantly for God's kingdom, and I keep on going. And I know that if I'm facing in that direction towards God's kingdom, when I mess up, I know that when I say sorry, when I come to Jesus and say, I messed up there, I'm sorry, I know I receive forgiveness for that. I know I'm free from those wrongdoings. And I keep on going. As my mum says, you get back on the horse. I get back on that horse and I run towards that finish line. I think the problem comes in when we're running the race, but then when things go wrong, we look back and we turn around behind us and we see the wrong stuff that we've done. Our aim and our target has changed. So when you're going for, when you're running the race towards the kingdom, things go wrong, you look back and you say, This has happened, which has kind of knocked me off course. It's when we turn around the other way that's when stuff starts to go wrong. And I felt like when I was praying this morning about what God, what do you want me to say to people here? I felt like that people, there was someone who, or maybe multiple people that were running the race, wanted to run the race for God's kingdom, but stuff had happened in life, stuff that you'd done wrong and you'd spun round, and it's become a focal point for your life, was this thing that had gone wrong. And I know it's happened in my life before when something's gone wrong and I know I'm forgiven, but I'm still focusing on it. And it's like the guilt has kind of just covered me and it's knocked me off that race. And it's focused my attention on something else. And I know that this whole series has been about freedom and about freedom that Paul talks about in Galatians. Well, let me tell you now that actually when you say you're sorry, you're forgiven, that means that's the end of it. And you're free from that. And if there is something that's going on in your life that you're focusing on, that was something that you know was wrong, but you've said sorry, but you still can't quite get over it. You still can't quite get through it. And there's still that guilt and shame kind of hovering over you. and it's taking your focus away from God's kingdom and living in the Spirit. Well, I reckon that today God wants to take away that guilt and that shame and set your eyes back on track in that race. So again, I just really encourage you, with whatever happens next in the service, to tap one of your mates that you trust and just say, that was me, and I need you to pray for me. And if you feel like it's something that you don't really want to share, I'm very good at keeping things quiet. I sometimes it's really helpful to chat to someone that doesn't know you, you know, and I'd love to be that person, and I'd love to pray for you. So do come and grab me after the service. We can do whatever you want. Great. But what's it look like, that thing that we're chasing for? When we're looking to live in the Spirit, when we're looking to see the fruit that comes from living in the Spirit, what is it that we're chasing for? Because I think that once we know what we're going for, I don't know if you're like me, once I know what I'm going for, why I'm doing it, then I go for it. And what we're going for, what pleases the Spirit, what the Spirit desires, is us to go for God's kingdom. And what that looks like is, as Jesus splits down, is loving our God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, but also loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I think that second one is such a key one. Loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And the challenge is that actually, to be able to love our neighbors well, we have to love ourselves well. And I think that's where that word about not forgiving yourself and having the guilt comes in, is that you don't love yourself when you feel guilty about yourself. And so my challenge is, have you encountered Jesus? Have you encountered his Spirit? Have you felt how loved you actually are? Because that's the reality, is that you're loved more than you know. You're loved more than you know. And when you come at loving your neighbour as, this is how valued I am by God, you know that then your neighbour's valued equally as much as that, if not more. When you come at it, this is the love that I'm bringing to this situation, that's when you see change happen. When we're looking to love our neighbours as God loves them, we'll do anything. So the challenge is, in what situations in your life do you, what groups of people do you come into contact with that need love? And do you love them? When you see people at work who are being marginalized or talked down to or bullied, are you the person who stands up and says, that's not right? And when you have stuff going on in family, and family can be weird, can't it? But when stuff goes on in family, and you think, what, this isn't right. When you see people being mistreated, are you the first person to say, this isn't right? And to step into that situation and bring God's love. When at school, I know school's breaking up soon, but I've got a few friends who are teachers, and they say that on the school playground, when parents come to collect their kids, there's a real horrible stuff that's said between parents, about other parents, about teachers, and are you the parents that say that actually that's not right and stand up for them? When you walk down the street and you see someone who's homeless, or you see someone who's sick, or you see someone who's hurting, are you the sort of person that would go up and chat to them and pray for them, pray for healing? It's a big deal. There's one time when I felt the kind of prompting from God that this lady had something wrong with her hand, and I felt God saying that you've got to pray for that lady, because he wanted to bring healing to that lady. And I was super scared, because it's kind of weird when you think about it, going up to just a random stranger, not knowing anything about them, and saying, you've got something wrong with your hand, and I know God, and I know God that wants to heal you, and praying for healing. And I actually, it was weird. I saw her, she was kind of in front of me. As I got off a bus, I saw this lady, and God said, that was a lady. And I walked up to her. I walked past her. I did a lap. I came back round. I walked past her again to the lap, came back round. I walked past her 5 times. She must have thought I was nuts, as I was pretty much just lapping this lady, trying to pluck up the courage to pray for her. You've probably done the same a few times, where you've had that situation come into your head where you know the Spirit is prompting you to pray for someone, but you're just sort of circling around it. But eventually I plucked up the courage and prayed for her, and she had had something wrong with her hands. The tendons had all tightened up in her fingers. So I think, I don't know what the medical term is, I'm not medical, but her hand was kind of all tight, and she couldn't stretch out without being really painful. And so I prayed for her, and her hand just stretched out. And she said, the pain's all gone. It was crazy. But that's what happens when you're running that race, when you're going for God's kingdom, when you're walking in line with the Spirit, when you're looking to love your neighbor, when you're willing to step out, that's the stuff that happens. That's exciting, isn't it? And that's the stuff that happens when we partner up with God, when we partner up with his Spirit. So step one is that we accept God's Spirit. We receive God's Spirit. We ask for it every day. It's a continual process. I'm a leaky person. We're probably all leaky. We need to keep on asking for that topping up. There's always more to get. The second step is that we've got to run towards the kingdom, run towards God's kingdom. Naturally, we're going to stumble. We're going to trip up. But we know that when we come to Jesus, we're forgiven. We say, sorry, things are all right. Then we leave that stuff. We accept the forgiveness. We accept the freedom that comes as a result of that forgiveness. And the third one is that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And that's how we see change. And so just to imagine if we all left here now, having had that Spirit top up, saying yes to Jesus, yes to God's kingdom, running in that direction, and then wanting to leave knowing that we're going to love our neighbor in the way that God loves them. Imagine what could happen in all our different situations, in all those situations that we could think with our family, with our friends, at work, in church here, with the person sat next to you. Imagine the change and transformation that could happen if we all went for that. It's exciting. Our lives matter. And that's what I want to finish on, is just imagine those situations that we know that we know aren't right and aren't of God, and we see hurt and heartbreak. Imagine what we'd do if we'd step into them. And I just want to finish with this story of me at the food bank. And at the food bank, we see all sorts of people in all sorts of really horrible situations. But this one guy walked in, and he was sweating loads. His pupils were massive, and he was addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs. And when we came, he was sat him down and just had a chat with him, offered him a tea and a coffee and a cake. And we just said, how are you doing? And he started telling his whole story of what had happened in his life. And it turned out he was an engineer, and he was doing well for himself, able to support his family. He had 4 kids. They're living in a house together. But he lost his job. And for him, his job was everything. I hadn't looked after his finances that well, so a few months down the line, after losing his job, he was almost completely out of money. And he had to move out from his flat, his house, sorry, that he was living in. And he went back to live with his parents. So his parents accepted him in. But for him, that was his identity, was in providing for his family. And he wasn't able to do that. So he turned to alcohol, started drinking lots, turned to drugs. Eventually, his parents kicked him and his partner and their kids out of the house because they couldn't do it anymore. And he managed to rustle together enough money for 1 month's rent in private accommodation. It was a two-bed flat, and his family was staying there. just really struggled with life, and actually tried to, as he was sharing with me, he said that he tried to kill himself. It got that bad that he tried to kill himself. And actually what happened was his kids, who were two of them, who were 3 and 5, actually walked in and saved him. And that's the situation that this guy is walking in to our food bank, having gone through. You think, gosh, that's, you can't even imagine that situation. And that's where he was. And we were able to sit him down and say, at the moment, you don't have any food. We want to give you food. We want to care for that physical need. And you can see him relax a bit. But actually, there's more than that that we want to offer. And I said that I want to, I believe in a God that loves you, that knows you, that wants to give you hope and wants to give you peace. And I said, it's all right if I pray for you. And he said, yeah, people always want prayer in that sort of situation. And I just prayed that God's Spirit would come, that this guy would feel peace, would feel love, and would feel hope. And as I was praying, his shoulders dropped. He stopped sweating completely. His pupils went back to a normal size. And he let out a huge sigh. And he said, I feel like there is hope now. There is something else that's going to happen. There is purpose to my life. I feel loved. I feel valued. Now for me, that was me being prompted by the Spirit to go and to pray for him. And as a result of that, this guy went away. We put him in contact with an advice centre who helped him out with getting benefits. He was able to get a bit of money. He went along to a job club. He got a job. He got some more money. He's now living in a small flat with 3 beds, so it's less cramped. And his life's back on track. And he encountered something there that changed him. And I think there's something of God's kingdom there. That's what can happen if we walk in line with God's Spirit, if we live in God's Spirit. And that challenges me to keep on going, and hopefully it challenges all of us to keep on going. Is it all right if I pray for us all as we finish up? Father God, whether we've never done it before, we've done it many times, we just say that we want to receive your Spirit now. Father, I thank you that your Spirit is one that brings incredible fruit of love, of joy, of peace, of kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Father, I thank you that's what you want for us. I thank you for what you modeled in Jesus. And I pray that would spur us on when we want to be people who live for your kingdom, who bring change, who bring transformation, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Father, I pray that you would help us to live that out. I pray that you would help us to walk in step with your Spirit. And when there's stuff that's happened in our lives that we're ashamed of or embarrassed about or feel guilty about, I pray that you would completely wash that away and that we would live in forgiveness and in freedom that comes from that. But God, we also want to see that spill out into the rest of our world, into our communities, our families, our friends, our church here. So I pray, God, that as we prayed before, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray that we would be the people that partner with you to let that kingdom come here in Bristol. In Jesus' name, amen.